to start off today by telling you about some email I got this week, and I'm going to read it to you. My voice is cracking, and I haven't even started talking yet. Dear Recruiting Animal, I am writing to introduce myself in case you ever need a guest for your show. I am a nationally and internationally recognized authority on matters related to employment, career advancement, and recruitment, having been cited in a wide range of publications and websites. This is the letter, including USA Today, US News and World Report, the New York Post, the New Jersey Star Ledger, Crain's New York Business, the San Francisco Chronicle, The Lauders, Career Builder, Hot Jobs, and Human Resources Executive Online. I have also appeared, this is the last thing, I've also appeared on two Blog Talk Radio programs. Please feel free to contact me at any time. I look forward to hearing from you. Signed, Bruce Birnbaum. Bruce Birnbaum is not his real name, just so you know. I sent Bruce, and you're going to hear why, I sent Bruce a note, and I said, hey, Bruce, can I put you on the show next week? I mean, I was ready to go with the guy, but I said, I got to warn you about something. This is not the place where people come to regurgitate their marketing mumbo-jumbo and get a pat on the back for it. You're in the hot seat here, and sometimes it gets rowdy. So this numbskull writes me back. He says, well, I'm afraid that I'm one of those persons who believes that volume is a substitute for substance. Volume is a substitute for substance. I sincerely thank you for your warning and wish you the very best. Well, you know he doesn't, so I emailed him back. I said, Bruce, I loved your reply, and I'd like to use it on my feedback page. Do you have any objections? So he writes to me. He says, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid I'm going to pass. You do not have my permission. He wrote that, so I wrote to him. I said, why not, Bruce? Are you ashamed of what you believe? That can be the only reason, but it's time to be a man and stand by your convictions. So he writes back to me. He says, I'll explain it on my blog. And I say to myself, yeah, right. If you can do it there, why not on my site? I'm going to tell you why. Because he doesn't have the guts. He's a lily-livered chicken who's bold enough to be a conceited snob behind closed doors, but he doesn't have the courage to let people see who he really is. You little pipsqueak, Bruce, I dare you to compare yourself to my guest today, Rebecca Sergeant Towers over you on Jerry. Jerry, what's your name?
The Recruiting Animal.
Today just to top up his personal brand. But there's no after show today. That's the most significant thing. Rebecca Sergeant, you're off the hook. Are you here?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, good. You know what? I don't know how many people are listening on their computers, but there's not many here yet. Yeah, I don't know if we should do how about a warm-up question to let people sign on. Is that okay?
That's perfect,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I was reading an article about a singer, and he said he doesn't eat 3 hours before a performance because if he does, he finds himself belching during the songs. And I find myself that if I'm leaving a long voicemail, I have the same problem. I have this, not a belch, but, you know, this thing like teachers get when they, you know, kids make fun of them because they have this stuff come up while they're talking. Does that happen to you?
I get the hiccups.
When you're leaving voicemail or when you're talking to people?
When I'm leaving a voicemail.
Do you leave long voicemails?
No, and hence why I don't leave long voicemails anymore. I make sure I leave my phone number twice in case I have a hiccup in between.
Okay, that's it, eh? But you do leave voicemail.
Yeah, always.
Yeah. Oh, yeah? You know what? Maureen Sheriff doesn't think that's a good idea, and she's on the line today.
Hi, Maureen.
You want to tell her? You want to tell her why it's a good idea?
With caller ID nowadays, they're going to see your number come up anyway. And if you're not leaving your number or your voicemail, they're just going to watch how many times you call. It's easier just to leave a message and then email them and follow back up.
Okay. So that was our warm-up. There's still not a lot of people here. It's going to be a great show, though, so I'm just going to move right ahead. Your website says, now, I have to tell everybody that Rebecca is a unique guest in all the 3.5 years I've been on the show. She's the only recruiter who recruits other recruiters. She's the only recruiter who recruits other recruiters. And on her website, it says, as a recruiting professional, are you sick of being treated worse than the most unqualified candidate you have ever dealt with? Rebecca Sargent, what does that mean?
Well, you have business owners that own the companies, and they have recruiters there, and they go out on the floor, and they yell at them, they push them, they give them bad job orders, they underpay them. What else? I mean, you name it. You know,
you could have talked a little louder. That's what I'm going to name. You know, you were a little louder. I talked to Rebecca on the phone yesterday. I thought she was going to be fine, but she's choking. Don't do it to me. I told her, run around the house before the show starts.
Can you hear me now? Is this better?
Just make sure that mouth is up against that phone real close, okay? You're not on that headset, are you?
No.
Oh, I don't believe you. Anyway, okay. Now, you said, this is, I put it up in the billing, that the best recruiters have ADD. How can you tell? Why do you say that, and how can you tell? And let me just say something else I'll add right now for Maureen, who's on the line. You said you can tell someone's body language over the phone.
You talking to Maureen or me?
No, I'm talking to you. I just want her to listen.
Oh, okay. Yeah, definitely.
She thinks she can smell their BO over their voicemail messages.
That'd be an interesting trick.
Why do they have? Why do these recruiters have ADD? Tell me about ADD and recruiters, okay?
Well, you look around the industry. I mean, when we start to interview these people, the first thing they'll say within the first 5 minutes is that they have a severe case of ADD. All of them. All recruiters say it, and it's amazing.
Who's on the phone now? Who's on the line now? 817, who are you?
It's Lipschultz.
Do you have ADD? I don't think so.
No, you're right, Animal, I don't.
Okay, listen to that voice. I can tell by listening to him that he doesn't have ADD. 614.
Really?
614, are you a recruiter? Speak up, come on. Okay, 513 is Maureen, don't say anything. Area code 317, who's that?
It's Andy.
Andy doesn't have ADD.
I'm advanced, man. I'm self-diagnosed. I'm advanced ADD.
Okay. Final one. Area code 609. Do you have ADD? Are you a recruiter?
It's A Stringer. Don't call me a recruiter, and yes, I do.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Okay. I'll give you half points on that, Rebecca. Okay. Anybody want to comment on that? Or she thinks it's an asset, right?
Yes, definitely.
Why's that?
Because there's some traits that come along with having ADD that help you manage people. And when you're dealing with a client and a candidate, it's a stressful time in their lives. And as people with ADD, we have the intuition when somebody's going to back out. We know how to manage them to the table, and we know how to manage the clients to the table.
You have ADD as well. Is that what you're confessing now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So ADD people have more intuition, or they're faster to pick stuff up? Is that what you're saying?
They're typically, they're more resilient, they have intuition, they're great idea generators, they're really compassionate about the people that they deal with and the companies that they're working with, and they're extremely creative and driven. Mm. And that's what drives them back to the table every time.
Okay, I have to watch myself.
But we don't make very good husbands.
Well, is your wife listening to this show?
She will be in the car later.
No, okay, normally they're married to somebody with OCD.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, how does that go together? I don't get it. Can you explain that a bit?
That's why you and me get along.
You know,
you have ADD. I have OCD.
Okay, fine. Yeah. Okay, you know what? Okay,
admit
let's
it. Embrace your frailties.
No, you know what?
Quicker, make it BOM.
I have to, so watch what I say about autism on the show with Kathy Manis as being a regular, but that sounds like the opposite of an autistic person. They are slow to pick up people's reactions. ADD people, you're saying, are very quick, maybe too quick, right?
That's right. People with ADD are highly visual individuals. They typically don't like to read. They don't do well in school because you're asking them to sit down. And the reason that they have really good intuition is because they're watching people's body language and they're tuned into it.
Yeah, well,
I want to make a comment here.
Yeah.
Okay.
I that would lead very well to why most of us that are on this call are independent recruiters, right? Because we can't sit in an office. We can't sit at our desks all day. We need to alter our day that way. Good point.
Exactly. Exactly.
I like to read, okay? So count me out. Now, you know what? You just gave me a segue into the next topic, which I was going to mention later, but I'll say now. You ran away from home because you didn't want to go to school, right?
Exactly.
You want to tell the story? You told me yesterday, but everyone would love to hear it.
I used to live in the States. My parents live in a small town in Connecticut, and I was working at a nursing home, and I love animals, so I applied for dog warden in the town.
She wanted to be a dog catcher.
I wanted to be a dog catcher.
You know what? You told this faster when you talked to me. She signed up after high school to be a dog catcher, and the mayor calls her father, who went nuts, right? You don't want to be a dog catcher, and if you do, you're going to get out of this house. So she ran away from home. She came back to Canada, where her roots are, right?
Yes, exactly. Exactly, yep.
Don't most runaways become strippers, not recruiters?
I don't know. Talk to her about that. Okay. But, you know, I'm gonna say a word I don't usually say. Your mother finally, as you told me, has stopped telling you that recruiting is shit and asked you to help her get a job. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
So your parents have come around. Is that right?
Yeah. It's taken a while. It's only taken 15 years. But, yes.
Uh-huh. Okay. Good. You told them. Okay, now you, let me see, you say, there's a few things you say here. You say recruiters are liars and they often lie to you when you recruit them. Is that true?
I don't know if they're liars. I wouldn't.
You told me someone said he played 70 people during a market crash.
Oh, you get the recruiters. There's a couple of different types of recruiters in the industry. And you get people, typically the jumpers. These are the people that last a year at a place and they're trying to find a home. They typically are liars. So it's a type of recruiter. It's not all recruiters.
Okay.
I want to be very specific about that because recruiters are very passionate about what they do. And as much as people say that we're unethical, typically the unethical people that we're seeing in the industry are in the industry for anywhere between 3 to 5 years, and then they leave.
Mm, okay.
So your ethical people are after that.
Okay. You said recruiters are crappy interviewees, I think that's what you said.
Yeah.
To quote you, you said, we do worse things than our candidates.
Oh,
is that true?
Always. Yeah. I've had more recruiters go to interviews and blow them up in the last 12 months than I've ever had candidates blow up interviews. And we do stupid things, like we go into interviews with an agency and proceed to tell them that we're only going to work 9 to 5 Monday through Friday.
Yeah, when you say that we, that's one guy, right?
Right. We had one
just
candidate.
Say, I had this guy. Don't say we. I've never gone in and done that, okay? Don't say we.
When was the last time you interviewed?
A long time ago. Okay, tell me the other story. So I have to drag them out of you? I mean, you told me yesterday.
I had another recruiter who we booked an interview. I booked an interview for. She didn't show up for the interview, called her. She answered her phone and proceeded to tell me that she was lost in town. And when it finally dragged it out of her, she handed the phone over to the bartender so I could give him directions to the interview. And he proceeded to tell me she was too drunk to go to the interview.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I've had candidates show up with 5 different colored nail polishes on. Yeah, you name it. I've probably had it in the last 12 months.
Okay. Does anybody agree with her that recruiters are, you know, too dumb to interview?
I just wonder what color nail polish I'm supposed to wear.
Okay.
Clear.
Astringer is in his glory today because Jerry's not here. Okay. So
Animal.
We talked. Yes.
I think they lie. This is the ADD ex-recruiter job search coach.
Yep, at job search coach. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that recruiters, some of us are ADD.
Yeah.
And I think that we have to lie.
Why?
Because we can't always tell a candidate what happened to his candidacy.
Oh, that's,
okay.
That's different.
She's not
then.
Talking about that, okay?
I understand that, but that puts us in the mindset of bending the truth.
Maybe it's because ADD people, their minds are moving so quickly they don't know what the truth is. You know, they focus on things one so fast, one after the other, and it's very confusing. I'm going to move on. You said, I won't deal with agencies. Those are your clients that have a high turnover. Why is that?
Because
you
know,
you don't have to wait for me to drag stuff out of you. You can just spill it out. That's what I like my guests to do. That's what I told you yesterday.
Yeah,
oh, I don't expect
cool.
any
that's
problems
cool.
with you. I can't stop you from talking. But now you're on the radio. You're not talking at all.
The reason why I won't deal with agencies that have a high turnover is that, again, we're going after recruiters that are really good in the marketplace. They're really good revenue generators. And the last thing they want to do is get into an environment with a bad reputation. And it damages their reputation. It takes them a year to build their desk. And why would you want to leave after all that hard work? So what we do is we give a guarantee on production.
No. You're ruining my show.
Hi.
Okay. Okay, let me just leave. Okay, let me ask you this. How do you know an agency has a high turnover?
Oh, they have a reputation. And we see a lot of candidates coming out of their environments. And they typically are the 100% commissioned environments.
Okay. 100% commission, draw against commission?
Draw, it's 50-50. Some of those places you see. No. You know what? Draw against commission? You don't see a lot of turnover in those environments.
No? Okay.
No.
So you mean somebody has, they work for nothing. They just get 100% commission and they have to support themselves until they make any money. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm not surprised there's a high turnover there, okay? Now, listen, you said you coach recruiters. I'm not sure what question to ask. Okay, here's...
You know what?
Let me tell you what coaching is?
No, not yet.
You told me it takes. Now you said something a minute ago. I was going to ask you later. I'll ask it now. You said it takes a year to build a business as a recruiter. When you go into a new recruiting environment, it takes a year to really get going. What does that mean?
That means that when you get in there, you've got that first couple of months.
Can everybody hear her? Does anybody else find her faint?
I can hear her, just an animal.
Okay.
No problem.
Sounds okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Fine. Yeah, okay, good. Thank you. What does it mean that it takes a year to build your desk or your business, you said?
Your business. It's going to take, when you walk through the doors, you've got to get acclimatized to the environment and the people that are there. That takes the 30 days. And then from there, you've got to go out to the marketplace and talk to your clients and build your pipeline of candidates. While you're doing all of this, you're branding yourself and getting more market recognition. You're not going to walk in and land in a desk and land 10 job orders and fill them all in the first 30 days.
What do you mean you're branding yourself and you're creating a pipeline? Start telling me what the deal. Give me an example. You told me that it was your job. Do you want to say where you worked?
Sure.
Where was it?
I worked at Volt.
Uh-huh. Now, you said there was one company where you were the person who took over desks where there was nothing, a certain new industry or where it was a disaster, and you built it up from the ground. That's what your specialty is. Am I right?
Yes, my background.
Now, tell us a story about how you did it, okay?
All right, so one of the things that I had to do was I had to go down to North Carolina and work with Caterpillar and their local office, the local Volt office. And what was happening was Caterpillar was getting candidates into their interview process and then stalling on them and then calling the local office back in 6 months and saying, we'd like to see that candidate again, was driving the local office nuts, and the hiring managers were saying that the local office wasn't producing properly. So what we did was I went in and looked at the process, and I built a hot sheet. So what I mean is I went back to the office, built a pipeline of engineering candidates.
How?
We did postings, we went through job ads, and we then did some headhunting. So that was it.
When you did the headhunting, was it for specific jobs, or did you just call up candidates in the field and say, hi, my name is Rebecca. I'm going to be working in this field a lot, and I want to get to know you. Is that what you did?
No, no. I mean, yes. I mean, that's your typical.
No, yes? What do you think yes. I am? How can I understand that?
That's your typical headhunting call. I wasn't calling to say I'm building a pipeline for, I'm not building long-term relationships with these candidates. I was in for 6 weeks. I had 6 weeks to get candidates in. So when I called a candidate, it was, I'm the recruiter for Caterpillar. I'd like to talk to you about your career and what you're doing. And then get them onto the hot sheet. We did a quick interview, got a synopsis of their background, put it on a sheet, and took it back to the managers. We slid it in front of the managers and said to them, you want to book interviews with these people, because if you don't, I'm going to take them back out to your competitors. They booked interviews right off of a profile sheet and started closing deals. We closed four deals within the first 30 days of presenting candidates and backing Caterpillar into a corner and saying, we're going to start going after your competitors.
You know what? I mean, like, I'm totally lost. I asked you how to build a desk. Now, you're answering a different question. That's okay with me. I went to hear an old guy, an 80-year-old guy, speak on Sunday night, and I asked him one question, and he answered another, and I didn't start a fuss in front of everybody. So I'm not going to do it to you either. I'm not going to do it. You want to answer this question? Fine. But what is the question? You're telling me a story where you're having problems with Caterpillar. That was the client. I don't know what they were. What was the order? What was the order?
The electrical engineers. These guys had to go back out in the field and take the tractors apart and figure out what was wrong and then bring the design back to Caterpillar so that when they did a new release of a tractor, they could fix the issue.
Okay, and so this office was sending out people, but the client didn't like anybody. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. And
okay,
they were taking too long.
You went down there and you recruited a whole bunch of new people. Is that right? And you took it to the client and gave him an ultimatum. And the ultimatum sounds to be the only difference that you were doing from what was done before. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
A lot of recruiters won't back a client into a corner. They just
should
won't.
We do that? Tell me when I should do it.
When your client's not behaving, your client's not coming to the table. Why would you waste any time filling orders for somebody that doesn't respect your time? We don't get paid.
Wasn't that a threat, though?
In what way?
Yeah, that's a threat. She said corner them.
Why not?
So it's okay for a recruiter to threaten a company, if you don't hire my people, I'll send them to your competitor. Is that the way to get business?
If your client doesn't want your candidates, what are you going to do with them? Stick them on the shelf and hope to God in 6 months they come back?
Well, we've always said there's two kind of companies, companies you put people into and companies you pull people out of. But do you tell them that?
Of course I tell them that.
Okay.
I make a living staffing companies. If you want my expertise, I'm going to stand behind and fill your orders. Don't want it anymore? I won't pick from you because you're my client. But most certainly, if I have a great candidate and you aren't giving me the time of day, I am taking it directly to your competitor.
And by the way, you're doing a great job on this show. So
thanks.
I'm devil's advocating you. Yeah, but you know, I can say to you, hey, there's a lot of recruiters that I can work with without working with somebody that's going to threaten me. How do you feel about that?
I don't threaten my clients. You're either going to come to the table and recognize the talent that I'm bringing you, or you're not. Currently, I have clients that I give my clients 2 hours to respond to my resumes, and my clients know that I'm setting, my candidates are taking an entire day off, and they're going to 3 interviews. If you want to be on that list, you will respond. Don't respond? Not a problem.
Nice clients, job.
Thanks.
Okay, so let's go back to my original question. You said it takes, well, you know what, let's leave that. Based on what you just said, if you're setting up 3 interviews for one person in one day, it sounds like you get a candidate and market them. Is that right? Is that how you get job orders?
Yeah, I'm all about marketing candidates. The candidate,
let's hear about it. Let's hear, how do you do it? Is this your main way of getting business?
Yeah, I don't take orders. The biggest complaint that I have from my clients is that my standards are too high for my candidates. They'd much rather see a lower client. But no, I go and find really good billers and call my clients and tell them how they're going to add $1 million to their bottom line.
Okay, so how do you get your candidates then? You get your candidates before you have the jobs for them. Is that right?
That's right, yes.
Okay, so how do you do that? Now, do they come to you or do you just go out looking for good people?
Both. I have a lot of referrals that come into me from the people I've placed, of course, because they're top billers. And then the other thing is, you know, you start to sniff around and you see people that are doing lots of postings and they're making a lot of noise in the marketplace on LinkedIn. Pick up the phone and call them and ask them how they're how their career is going. How
well,
do you like?
Well, give us the exact words. Tell us a story. When did you do that last?
Last week, I picked up the phone because I had a recruiter who had done a lot of postings for technical positions.
Where?
Here in Toronto.
Where did he or she post them?
They were all over. They were in Monster, they were in Workopolis, and then when I checked them out on LinkedIn, they had done a whole bunch of different postings for Java developers.
Now, how do you know that those postings are on Monster? Well, what do you follow?
It depends. If I've got a dry day and I got nothing else to do, I'll go through postings and see who's posting.
Yeah.
And pick up their names. A lot of recruiters that are happy in their jobs don't ever post their resumes. So the best way to find them, actually, is because when they do a posting, they put their email addresses right on the posting.
Uh-huh.
That's the best way to catch them.
Okay. And so you phone this person up, and what did you say?
I said, you know what, my name's Rebecca Sargent. I know you don't have a lot of time to talk. Can I get your phone number? And I get their cell phone right off the bat.
You don't say, my name's Rebecca Sargent. I'm a recruiter or a headhunter. I mean, like, you tell them what you do, you just say,
yes.
I'm Rebecca.
No, I'm Rebecca. I recruit recruiters. I know that you can't talk. Can I have your cell number? I'm going right for the cell number. I don't want anything else other than that on that first call because they're not going to be able to talk to me in a bullpen.
Okay.
And then typically they stop and they're kind of, you know, they back up and they're not sure who I am. And then I say, I have to talk to you about your career. And they instantly give me their cell number and schedule an appointment. I'll call you at 5:30. A lot of yes and no answers from them. I'll get a phone number, call them back after they leave work. A lot of times they'll Google me after I've hung up and call me as they're leaving their work. I had a candidate do that the other day.
And what do you say when you get them on the second time?
That I want to talk to them about their careers and how they're doing. And
yeah,
what do you say?
What do you say? You know, I coached you yesterday.
Yes, I know.
Said, you know, don't screw around with me. When I say, what do you say, I mean, what do you say?
I ask them about their careers.
Do you use verbatim?
I'm a recruiter's career coach. I help recruiters get to $250,000 and help them build their careers and build profit. Do you have a few minutes to talk to me about your career? How's it going? How do you like the office? What are you feeling? How many people have you placed in the last 30 days, 12 months, in the last 3 years? What's the revenue you're generating? A lot of recruiters don't know the revenue that they're generating, especially when they're in the big houses. So we talk about, you know, can you pull a report on how many candidates you have out working, and then can you give me your commission plan so we can look at it and figure out if you're actually making good money. If they're making good money, I don't touch them. I tell them they're making good money. And if they're not, then I explain to them about what the marketplace is looking like. If a recruiter is billing $71,000, I have a recruiter right now who actually works for a large agency. She's billing $71,000 in clerical people per month. She bills out over the year $780,000, and she's only taking $100,000 home. I am currently working with her to find her a new job and talking to my clients and saying, she's going to add $1 million to your bottom line next year. What are we doing to get her inside? Does that answer your question?
Kind of. Well, I found your initial statement to them because I know you're a recruiting coach. We're going to get to that. But when you get them on the phone, it sounds like you're not sure if you're a recruiting coach or a recruiter. What do you say to someone when you get them on the phone? It sounded very confusing to me.
It is very confusing because I'm not looking to headhunt bad people. I'm looking to keep people in their job. And depending on if they've met my criteria and they're billing out the money – then I can move them. If they're not bringing out the money, then I can help coach them.
So give us the line that you use again. Give us your starting line. Hi, my name's Rebecca.
Hi, my name's Rebecca. I'm a recruiter's career coach. I place recruiters and help recruiters build their desks. How are
things going? That's a mouthful. Does anybody like that? Anybody on the line? There's 10 people here now. Anybody like that line?
Feedback is
I don't know. It's
good.
Working for me so far. I'm learning a lot.
No. That line.
The line's okay.
I'm a recruiter's career coach.
I mean, you can refine it a little bit, but she's getting the point across.
Andy, speak up. Come on. Okay.
Come on,
you know what?
You know what? I'm going to jump in here because
Animal,
one of the things that we run into
what?
Is that
I don't have a problem.
You sit aside for a second, okay? I'm in charge of the show. Don't tell me what's happening. Who's speaking there?
Yeah, it's Andy. I don't have a problem with it. I think, you know, it sounds good to me.
Okay, I found it confusing because let me ask you a question, Rebecca. Are you trying to you've got a double goal. You want to maybe bring someone in as a recruiter you can coach for money, and if he or she is already doing well, then you want to make them into a candidate. Am I right? Yes or no?
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
Okay.
And their line
so,
is a hook. You need a hook of some kind.
You know what? Yeah,
but
it has to be a hook that you can. A hook is only a hook if you understand it. I found it like, you know, too confusing for me. I guess I don't have ADD. Because, you know, maybe they can understand. So that's it. I guess maybe that's the separator. If you give them some kind of double talk and they understand it, they've got ADD.
It's a test.
And if they're ADD, they're a good recruiter.
It's a test. It's very good. That's pretty ingenious.
Yeah. Okay. So let's move into it. Let's tell a little about you. You coach people. Your goal, one of them, if you want to coach them, is to take some loser and say, I'm going to, for 5%.
I don't take on losers.
Well, okay, if someone's not doing well, you want to coach them. Someone who's not doing well is a loser, right?
No. It depends. It depends. Yes, there are losers out in the marketplace, but there's a lot of people that don't know how to do the job either. So.
Okay, and how can you tell from this little conversation you're having that they can't do the job?
I have three questions I ask them. I ask them, tell me about your first job. Typically, your top performers have had their first job before they were 15 and they had to lie about it. Tell me about your family. Tell me about what your parents do. A top performer, somebody, immediate family or salespeople, and they're typically top performers. And then tell me, you know, are you the one that drives the money home, or is somebody else managing that? If somebody else is managing bringing in the most money into the house, this person is lazy. So I don't touch people unless they've got their first job before they were 15. If they have to have had the job before they're 15, they have to have somebody in the family that's a salesperson or extremely driven or own their own business, and then from there they have to be the major breadwinner. Those are the only people I coach. I don't coach anybody else.
Wow. This is like psychedelic to me. Does anybody else find that kind of weird?
I find that pretty amazing, but I'm thinking about it, and I think it makes sense. I think
why
it
would I waste
very
my
common
time
sense
with people that aren't going to produce?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's a little. You might be losing 10%. You know, false negative or whatever. I mean, you might lose some with those three, but for the most part, I bet it's dead on.
Okay. So you're on the phone. When do you bring those questions in? After you ask the person what their production and stuff like that is.
We talk about their desk. We talk about what they're producing.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, I'm listening to the person. If they're really laid back and, you know, yeah, I go to work 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, I'm pretty much hanging up on those recruiters. Those aren't the people I want.
How do you hang up on them? How do you hang up? I don't like you. Goodbye?
I ask them, do they see a career for themselves in recruiting? 9 times out of 10, they say they'd love to get into HR, and that's when I cut bait and run. It's I don't place HR people. I can give you the name of somebody, but I don't place you. Thanks. Have fun.
How do you? No. What do you actually say? So, you know, you've been. What if someone's been in recruiting for a long time? They actually have a career, but you don't hear. You know, the money's not there, and they. You know, you're not really enthusiastic. How do you get rid of the person? Because that's what job search coach, I mean exec job coach was talking about. She said we have to lie because we, you know, often can't tell people you just sound like a drip.
No,
I don't lie.
I tell people how it is. I've had recruiters call me, and I had a recruiter call me and want me to coach her, and she wasn't extremely driven. And I said to her, "There's nothing I can do for you. Your best bet is to go do some research and some books." And gave her a list of books that she could look at. But beyond that, she didn't want to be in recruiting. And I told her that.
No. Let's say you get someone who's on the phone, been recruiting electrical engineers for 5 years. That's
okay.
Quite a commitment of time already. The money's really not making a lot of money. Your father wasn't a salesman. Mother was a stay-at-home mom. What do you say to that person?
How much more money do you want to make? Do you have the commitment of making the extra money? And are you willing to put in the extra time? Because
they're
going to
say yes. They're going to say yes and yes.
They're
going to
say yes?
Yeah, of course they're going to say yes. Who doesn't want to make more money?
Do a role play with
yeah,
with
I'm ready.
Lipschultz
go ahead.
Here, okay?
You know what?
Do
I'm
going to
pretend.
Role play with
I was going to say, Animal, it's too bad Jerry's not here because I wonder how he would do.
He'd be groaning. He'd be making all. And they'd say,
no
role
but I mean,
play.
How is
no
she,
role
if she's
play.
Using that criteria
yeah.
on him. All right, anyway, role play. Okay, I'm ready.
Okay,
go.
You're role okay. playing with Lipschultz, okay?
All right. Hi, how are you today?
Hey, I'm great. How are you?
Good. My name's Rebecca. I recruit recruiters. I just call in to talk to you about your career and how things are going. How are things going?
Things are going all right. You know, the economy's bouncing back. I'm feeling pretty good about 2011.
Yeah? What are you looking like? What's it look like you're going to be placing next year?
About $1 million, something like that, maybe $1.5 million.
Wow. All yeah. your own clients? Do you do all the work yourself?
Yeah, I do all the work myself.
So you manage the client and the candidates?
I manage the client and the candidates, yes, I do.
Wow, that's pretty good. How do you like the company you're working for?
It's all right. The boss is kind of a jerk, but otherwise, it's pretty good. Pretty good company.
Is this realistic role play?
What's that? Sorry.
Never mind. I said, is this realistic role play?
Just keep going.
Know,
don't interrupt. Don't interrupt the role play. Go ahead. It's going well.
Have you ever thought about going out on your own?
Oh, yeah. I think about it all the time.
Do you? How long have you been in recruiting?
About 5 years, but I've been, you know, in support roles to it before that.
So is this your first recruiting job? You've been there for 5 years? You've never had to build a desk other than the one that you've got there?
That's true, yeah. I've been pretty loyal to this desk, you know.
Wow. Cool. What's your commission plan looking like? What are they paying you?
That's like 80-20.
80-20, 20 to you, 80 to the company?
Well, 80%. I get 80% of my revenue salary is based on commission.
80% of your salary is based on commission. So,
yeah,
what
that's
are you
my
pulling
estimate
out of
from last year. Yeah.
Say that again. Sorry.
That's my estimate from last year. About 80% was tied to commission.
So, what did you close last year?
I don't remember.
Okay. What did you T for or 1099 last year?
Why are we talking about my salary so much? Where is this going?
Because most of the recruiters out there are incented by money. And,
yeah.
You know,
are we still role-playing?
Yes.
I think so.
Yes.
I'm incented by money, yeah.
You're
I mean, I'm happy
money.
With my salary.
And if your commission plan isn't calibrated correctly, you're leaving money on the table. And I'm just trying to determine how much money you might or might not be leaving on the table. Because most times, you know, I can look at that stuff. I can tell you if you're in a good position or a bad position. And if you're in a bad position, sometimes it's just going back to your current employer and help negotiate that. And if they're not interested in negotiating, then we talk about moving you. And if that looks like you're going to set up your own company, that's perfect.
I see.
What do you think?
Well, I probably talk offline about the money thing. I'm not good with numbers unless they're written down in front of me. I have ADD.
No, I'm going to interrupt now. He doesn't sound like he has ADD, does he?
No.
He talks too laid back, right?
Yeah.
He's not
and
for you.
You didn't ask about my parents. I'm disappointed.
No. The reason I'm pushing the numbers so bad is because, again, this is something that's going to come up with a top performer. They're going to know their numbers, and they're going to be, I placed 10 people last year, I made this much money, and this is where I am. Top producers know their numbers off the top of their head. They're not
playing
games.
What percent of people you talk to know the numbers off the top of their head?
I would say 10%.
Yeah, that's what I would guess.
Yeah, 10%.
Okay, so
coming
way back to what I was asking you, if this guy would have known his numbers right off the top and he would have been talking a little faster, although I personally don't think that recruiters all have to talk fast. I think Lipschultz is probably a good recruiter. But if even though his partner dumped him recently. if he would have liked everything you heard and he'd say, you know, Rebecca, maybe I'm not making as much money as I could or whatever, or if you said, I can make you more money, how would you make him more money? Would you get the facts and then call up a bunch of recruiters and say, I'm talking to this guy, Jeff Lipschultz, or I've got a candidate, and he's really, you know, he's going to make you a lot more money than he's, you know, he's going to make more money with you, and you're going to make more money with him. Is that what you say, or what's the story there?
I call my clients, and I explain.
New clients or known clients?
Both. Both. Depends on the candidate. We're placing, the candidate is God for me. So if I match my candidate's personalities to the environment's, And that's where they make their money, because they're not going to jump, right? And if he says to me that he wants to go work for ABC company because he absolutely loves them, I pick up the phone and I call the client and I say, I have a great candidate. He's a 360 desk. He's currently producing this. I want to talk to you about your environment. We're investigating your environment for him. Do you have a few minutes? And then I talk to the employer and find out, you know, what they're doing and how much turnover they've had. And then I'll start to do my background check, where I'll check LinkedIn, I'll check Monster, and I'll look at how many recruiters have actually left there. We get a lot of recruiters that want to go and work for specific companies that have high turnover. And I tell people, no, I wouldn't go there, because that company, your career is going to, you're going to go there and have your career die. There's several of those companies.
Really, if they're recruiters, if they're recruiters and they want to go to a specific company and they're used to working on the phone and making presentations, why don't they just call themselves?
Because they're too busy. They don't know.
They don't know they could be making more.
Yeah, I talk to a lot of recruiters come to me after they have a deal in hand, an offer in hand, and they're going, can you check this offer? What do you think of this offer? And depending on the company and if we've done investigation on them, I'll say yes or no. I have several companies in Toronto I don't currently do business with, but they're great companies. So I tell the candidates that because they refer their friends.
Okay. Now, you do recruiter coaching as well. Does anybody have a question? There's a lot of people here now. Anybody got a question for Rebecca?
I do. What does she charge?
I charge $10,000 for a recruiter, $5,000 on start date, check in hand, and $5,000 when the recruiter bills $15,000 in revenue. And that's typically getting me a second check 45 days in.
Okay.
So this is your whole shtick. This is you only charge based on production. Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
How does that work? Like, do you negotiate how much money do they have to produce in order to?
$15,000, and then I'm out of the game. And the clause that I have in my agreement is I give a 90-day guarantee. If the candidate doesn't produce $15,000 by 90 days, I cut the client. I go back into the client and say, you need to fire the candidate. They're not going to produce. Get them. Get rid of them. They're dead.
Fire them? Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Does a candidate know that you're going to tell his boss to fire him?
Yep. I tell my client. My candidates, we all know this game. We're all recruiters. My candidates know. I charge $10,000 when you walk through the door. Call me when you place first $15,000. We're going for dinner. All of them.
Really?
And they all call me. Every single one.
You get your original $10,000 and $5,000 back?
In what way? I always, say that again.
I thought you said you got $10,000 when they were hired, and then $5,000, and then $5,000 again when they booked $15,000.
No,
she didn't say that at all. What are you smoking?
That's what I heard. Say it again.
Okay, I get my fee is $10,000. I get $5,000 on start date. I get my second $5,000 when they produce $15,000 in billing.
Okay.
And if they go 45 days without a placement, you give the first $5,000 back and you don't collect the second. Is that right?
No. I replace the candidate.
Days.
I replace the candidate. If the candidate is let go for any reason, I replace the candidate. I don't collect the $5,000 that they initially paid me. I wait till the candidate produces $15,000 in revenue.
Okay, this is money you get for.
Go ahead.
This is money you get for placing a candidate, a recruiter, in a recruiting firm. I thought the question was you're also coaching recruiters.
We're going to do that.
I'm just a recruiter and I want some guidance on doing my job better. What is that? That I thought was the original question, but it's mine now. So what do you charge for that?
5% of your desk.
Wow, 5% of your desk. What period of time? The whole year?
No, for as long as you're working with me.
Oh, for as long as you're working together. That's interesting.
Yep.
Now, tell us about that. What is it that you really coach people on? What do you do? Because you told us a second ago that it's only a certain kind of person with high potential that you're willing to coach. So what is it that, where do they go wrong?
They get lost in the process. I have a candidate, I have a girl that called me out of Calgary yesterday. She's got 3 months in the industry. They hired her green. She comes from a sales background. She loves recruiting, but she doesn't know how to do it. She's completely lost. She doesn't even have the process down. So I explained, we helped her pick a niche. I helped her pick an area to go and work in and gave her some information. And she went back to her business owner, and they've agreed to take 5% of her desk and pay it to me, and I will manage and coach her for the next year.
Really? Okay. And but you said as well that if people just want to call you like they call Jerry, the people's coach, and I know that you know Jerry because you linked to his blog off of your company site.
Yeah.
And so if somebody just wants to give you a call and, you know, ask you a question without signing on for the 5%, you'll talk to them too. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah. It's
give out your
working.
Phone number.
905-627-5060.
905-627-5060?
Yes.
Okay, so if somebody wants to have a chat with Rebecca after the show and say, Rebecca, tell me, you know, do I have ADD, you know, can I make the grade, they can just give you a call and talk to them, right? And you'll get rid of them if they talk too long. Is that right?
Yes, yes.
Now, let me go back for a second. Do you ever tell the recruiting manager, fire that guy, and he or she doesn't want to?
Yeah, I have a client in Toronto who came to me and they wanted to the owner doesn't know anything about recruiting. They own a consulting firm. They hired the wrong recruiting manager. I call him a bird because he flops around at the table. And I went back to the business owner and said, you're damaging your reputation by having this guy in your business. I won't do business with you until you fire him. That's
okay,
it.
But did you place that bird in the company yourself?
No. They came to me to
okay, that's
to
different.
Find recruiters.
Oh, you know what? Jerry's here. Did somebody have a question for Jerry? Was that Lipschultz who wanted to taunt Jerry or something like that?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, nobody wants to take him on. Jerry, you want to say hi to everybody?
Hey, everybody.
Hi, Jerry.
Jerry, you drinking early in the day out there in the woods?
No, not while I'm hunting, huh?
No,
okay,
Animal,
good.
I just said that it would be interesting for Rebecca to ask Jerry those three questions that she uses to determine if you're a loser recruiter or not.
There you go.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. There you go. Jerry, are you up for it?
Yeah, sure. I'm in the middle of South Dakota, so I might lose the signal, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's his out, okay?
And this is blind, Animal. He doesn't even know what the questions are. This is cool. Go ahead.
Hey, Jerry, how are you today?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good. They want me to ask you these three questions. The first question
is... To see if I'm a loser?
Yeah.
that's cool.
Hey, tell me about your family. Tell me about your first job. What was your very first job?
I worked at a car wash.
And how old were you?
Probably 15, I think.
Yeah?
Ding, ding, ding.
Okay.
That's good enough.
How about your family? What do your parents do?
My dad's retired, but he was in the printing business. He was the manager of the department of a printing company that put out the JCPenney catalogs.
How much responsibility did he have?
A reasonable amount.
9-to-5 worker?
Well, he would work all different hours, but yeah, I mean he was a supervisor,
okay.
Department supervisor over time. He spent probably. Well, he retired there after, I think, 42 years.
Okay. What's your mom do?
Nothing.
Nothing? Not at all?
No, she's always a mom.
Who do you have extended family? Do you have aunts and uncles that were kind of around you? Anybody in there is a salesperson?
No.
Okay.
My aunt is an insurance person, but I wouldn't really consider her in sales.
What about any third cousins, Jerry? I mean, we're stretching, we're reaching.
We're stretching.
No, nobody in my family is in sales. Nobody.
Okay.
Mm.
All right. Who in the household drives the most money to the table? I don't know if you're married or not. Are you the major breadwinner?
Obviously I do.
Okay. So two out of the three, I would take the supervisor piece of it and maybe play with that a little bit more and push it?
Yeah, no.
Push
I would say supervisor is...
I don't understand what you're asking about.
Supervisor means foreman, okay? Who supervisor is foreman?
I'm trying
to find out if you would make a good recruiter.
We want to know if you'd be a good recruiter. Yeah.
Yeah, if you'd be a good recruiter.
If you'd be a top producer.
I don't know if those questions really determine...
Top producer.
...too much, do they?
I think Rebecca says...
I might disagree with that.
I'm only looking for the top 10% though, guys.
Thanks. We've done enough of that. Thanks. We've done enough of that, okay? I want to go back to – we're running out of time. Jerry, are you going to stay on and do the after show?
No, I can't do the after show. I'm going to be in the field shortly.
Okay, so we're gonna move on. You can sit there and
that
listen.
That means I'll have a gun in my hand instead of a phone.
Okay, great. Okay, so Rebecca, before we lose our audience, okay, I want to come back to my way back question. You said the first year in a new recruiting job is a build year. You have to know how to build a business, right? And sometimes you told me yesterday, since you're not the same person on the show as you are on the regular phone, I'll fill it in. You said, I'm taking people out of recruiting firms that have a very strict process. And when you put them into a boutique firm, they have to create the process themselves, right?
Yes.
And so it takes a year to put that process, handle it successfully. And you told me, well, I'll leave something there, but what's involved? What are the building blocks of that process? Can you tell us now? Is that something we have to pay you for or that you're willing to share? And we've had plenty of guests on this show who call themselves coaches who, you know, don't even want to tell us what they say when they call a candidate, okay?
No, that's fine. No secrets. We all know what this game is like. The building blocks of any desk is that you got to be able to pick up the phone and call people cold and talk to them about the new company. So picking up the phone, calling your clients and calling your candidates and re-educating people to the new process and the new company, it takes a recruiter anywhere from 30 to 90 days to kind of get that rolling off their tongue smoothly. And then going out and seeing clients and getting them to sign deals and get candidates into process. That's a year before they're rolling and they're established. Does that answer your question? I don't think it does.
You're right, it doesn't. First of all, do you go out and meet your clients? People don't necessarily, you know, work in their own locale.
I don't meet my clients.
Okay, there you go. So you just contradicted yourself. Number one.
Go out and meet your clients, meaning that you're going to go and talk to them. Schedule a phone.
You know, get them on the phone. Oh, you're going to get them on the phone, okay?
Yeah,
A few minutes ago, you said you tell your candidates, oh, you know, when you make your first placement, we're going for dinner. But you don't work only in your local area, right?
Right.
Okay, I'll tell you something else. You put your city on your Twitter page, you put Dundas, Ontario.
Yep.
Dundas is a dinky little town. It's like a suburb. It's a bedroom community of Hamilton. You don't want to put that down, okay? You should really put Toronto. And then will people know where you are? Because Hamilton is, you know, it's with a satellite city sort of Toronto these days. You should put Toronto down there.
I said Dundas because I don't like Hamilton.
Dundas. Who knows what Dundas is except people who watch Channel 11, okay? Now, CHCHTV, okay? Now, let's move on. So what was I talking about? Building the desk. So how do you get a bunch of candidates?
Myself, I again.
No, for the desk. A person who wants to build a desk, they're going to go into.
They're going to take their LinkedIn first and foremost. That's what they're
working on. Auto parts sales is going to be their specialty. What do they do?
They're going to post.
Rebecca,
an ad.
I want to be an auto parts sales rep for, you know, I don't know, Canada. What do
you're,
I do?
You're going to post an ad. That's the first thing you're going to do, and you're going to post a paper ad because these guys are not going to be on the internet, and you're going to talk to your friends about where they get their cars serviced. And who's servicing their cars?
We're talking about sales reps for auto parts. Sales reps for auto parts. Like, you know, for
like
tires and auto, you know, guys who are, or not parts necessarily, you know, people are doing repairs and stuff. So
I'd call a mechanic shop. I'd call a mechanic shop, a big shop, and ask them who their best sales rep is.
Yeah, how would you do that? Who would you ask for?
I call Green
and Ross. Hey, who's talking on the phone? Jerry, are you talking to your buddy?
It's me talking on the phone. I'm trying to fulfill my contract with you and also chit-chat a little bit on the side about my vacation, man. I'm trying to blend it in, dude.
Well, you should turn off the radio. You should sign off the call if you're going to talk to other people instead of just listening or talking to us. Okay, Jer? I shouldn't have to tell you that, okay?
Hey, you're free to cut me off.
I will.
I'm gonna stick on the call.
Okay.
I don't think that was a big infraction, dude.
Well, I could hear you mumbling in the background. Rebecca, so you say that people should put an ad somewhere, right? Is that the first thing they should do?
Oh,
very
it's
important?
Advertising. It's advertising for yourself.
Okay.
You always place ads.
So certain people are newspaper ads. Other people, where should they put ads? For Monster, Career Builder? Is that important?
It's always important. It's part of your branding. Always. Get your name out there. You know, a candidate may look through Monster today and then never look through it again. Most definitely. Post an ad everywhere.
So really, no one has ever told us that before that I remember, that is a specific technique that you should use to broadcast your existence. Go on all the places where you can put ads and say who you are. That's what
exactly.
You're saying, right?
Yeah,
and,
why not?
But that costs money to be able to put regular ads on a number of job sites. That's expensive, isn't it?
It is. I don't post on Workopolis and Monster. I post on Craigslist, LinkedIn. There's a couple of free sites that will actually go to a Career Builder. And don't ask me what it is. I can give it to people if they want it. But if you post an ad on this site, Career Builder picks it up and runs it for you. So why
really?
Would you do that? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You're always getting your name out there in front of people.
Does anybody else find that interesting? I've never heard of it before, that you deliberately go out and post your name all over the place.
Your ads, because you're...
Your ads, yeah.
You're targeting groups of people.
But you have to have a job order before you can place an ad, right?
No, I don't have job orders. I market candidates.
So how do you place an ad? What does your
ad
say?
I am looking for recruiters that have 3 years experience, that have done 250, and are looking for a career change. That's what I'm posting out there.
Really? That's interesting. That's news to me. Very good. I'm interested in that. Okay, and that's it, right?
Yep.
And do you link to your website or anything like that?
Link to my email. I actually have an email called Stuart McLean at RBS, so people don't feel like it's going into a black hole. And then I have somebody who checks that all the time.
Uh-huh. You know, nobody's been watching the Twitter stream before we're finished. Is anybody, you know, were there any questions out there? I know Maureen doesn't like doing that anymore. 86 seconds wasted lambasting Jerry for multitasking with the phone. You know, I've got this nemesis on Twitter. She's always harassing me. I had to take Jerry out because he was talking over you, and he's got a deeper voice than you do, okay?
I wasn't talking over anybody.
Okay, yeah, there he starts up again. I can't.
Rebecca,
yeah,
Rebecca, was I talking over you?
Okay, we're coming to the end.
You
know what? But we didn't get to half our questions, you know. I'd like to have you come back again. Do you want to come back again?
Sure, definitely.
Yes,
definitely.
You should come back again. Yeah,
okay,
you should
come back again.
No,
I have to warn you, though, if you come back two times in a row very close together, so far it's been that's death. Nobody wants to see the same person two times in a row. But I am going to get you back here because we have a lot of other questions we didn't even get to. Maybe you'll feel more comfortable the second time you're on. And I'm thinking that's it. Thank you.
No matter what happens, if we never see each other again, I want you to know it was wonderful.